Recorder is on.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we're ready to go. I want everyone to please stand. We're going to pledge allegiance to the flag. Nick, would you please lead us in the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, I'd like to call this meeting to order. This is the Historic Preservation Commission. It is 5:32, so we're ready to go. And I'd like to have roll call at this time, please. Why don't you start?
Okay. Nick Catalo here.
Okay, I can do roll. Commissioner Boone? Herb?
Here.
Hill?
Here.
Trucks? Cox?
Here.
Olivas?
Absent. Issues, I think.
Cataldo?
Here.
And Chairman Smith, please.
Here.
Commissioner Truax is ill. She phoned me this morning.
Who's that again?
Commissioner Truax.
Oh, Truax is ill.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Okay. Now I'd like to entertain public comments or items not on the agenda. And I believe we have a few guests in the audience. Would they like to, this is your opportunity to discuss the commission.
Those of you that don't know, you know, is Malia Vincent Finney. She is CEO of the Living Museum.
Native American culture.
Malia, she has involved some really wonderful stuff in the past in other areas. And in downtown San Bernardino, she has an office in the Andreessen Building. And she has some ideas about what they would like to do with downtown. So, Malia, would you like to talk to us a little bit about it?
That's a surprise. Hello. Let me just go ahead. All right. Nick had invited me because I was unable to attend the Mills Act workshop on Saturday. We're trying to ascertain the benefits to which the new owner of the Andreessen Building across the street will be entitled to with the purchase of the building. And that's Alan Stanley. And what we're doing is we're doing a total renovation of the building. I'm the project manager as well as the interior designer, and I'm actually designing the building to go back to 1927 design, but the actual building will be green and sustainable. We're going for LEED certification, and we're also going for historic register. Yeah,
okay, so
certification as well. So I'm going for that as well, so that you know we can get funding and get noticed. When the building is open, we're going to be noticing Mr. Andreessen for his contribution to building the city of San Bernardino, and we're going to be installing a plaque on the building for him. What else?
Pertaining to the Andreessen Building, you know the Mills Act workshop.
Right? Oh, yes, the Mills Act.
Okay, well, we're going to be talking about that. Yeah. Yes, but how about some other plans you have in the city downtown? Woolworths?
One of the other plans that the new owner and I are looking into are purchasing the Harris Company building when that becomes available. The Woolworths building, I just found out, is not available right now. The building next to the Heritage building, and the Heritage building, if it ever becomes available, is what we're looking to do. The project is actually part of, the Andreessen, for me, is part of a larger project, and that is to establish the California Native Heritage Center with the tribes in the Woolworths building and to create an event center there, as well as a research center and repository. That green building at 480 Court Street would also become a type of museum, probably a cultural museum, to recognize the Latino community, and it would also become an event center. But the idea, I used to be on Arts on 5th when Mayor Valles was in office, and we got it open as an art center. And then I left for a few years, came back, and found out it was no longer. So my goal is to get everything back on course. but I think it's very important to establish, now that I'm involved with the Andreessen Building, to establish an historic district. And I'm actually working on a plan to create an historic, a self-touring historic walk on the historic block. Yeah. With wayfinding and everything, to put San Bernardino on the map for its historic buildings and for being the West for what's gone on back here.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that's,
yeah, that's very encouraging.
With Jim.
Well, please use abreast of all your developments. You know, you're talking to the choir here, because that's what we're all about, is preserving history in California and San Bernardino specifically. We were created about 8 years ago, and so we are very sensitive about making sure that historic buildings are still here, that they're not demolished. We'll
exactly.
be talking a little bit. You're welcome to stay with the meeting, because we're going to be talking about unreinforced buildings and that situation that we need to be very sensitive of. We have,
yes.
And we're fortunate enough to have Mark Pacico, who's
yes.
in charge of. You've met Mark before, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
but he's the person to talk to about that, along with the fellow you saw in the elevator, who's
yes.
in charge of economic development here in San Bernardino. So
mm-hmm.
you're talking to the right people, and
oh,
look
excellent.
Forward to. Do you have any type of cards or? Any
oh no, we were
there?
We were invited by Nick.
Okay,
at the last kind of like be there.
Okay, yeah.
Because
okay,
I missed the workshop.
I got your number. I mean, I can give you.
Yeah. So it's like, show up. But my background is also historic renovation, and I've done it in Utah, and I've done it here.
Yeah, you'll see. What's some of the work that you've done?
And Banning.
Banning.
Working with Dorothy Ramon, the Morongos, working with them in downtown, and then in Utah, and Provo, and Salt Lake City.
I think you're meeting with my daughter, Molly Earp.
Yes. Okay, I'm meeting with Molly here. And she wants to be part of the project as well.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I do have a question for you.
Oh.
When you said the Woolworth building was not available, are there other plans in store for that, or?
Well, our plans is to, of course, restore it to its original. We've been talking to a lot of people, including the members at the Guthrie Music Room, because they seem to have... They seem to have a lot of memories. I think what we're going to do is do something community, so everyone who has a memory from being at Woolworth's or living in downtown can come and share their story, and hopefully have photographs, perhaps. Because then I want to be able to renovate it back to what it was originally. So there's a lot of research.
So Woolworth's building is owned by the city right now.
That is correct.
And the Andreessen building, the owner, there isn't, well, the owner, you know,
yeah.
Owner is nearby, or I have no idea who the owner is, but
Alan, coming in from San Marcos.
Right. Well, that's exciting. Yeah. You know, this is what has been happening in our city. We're certainly moving in the right direction. This is like the next step, because the perception of San Bernardino is very positive right now, especially since we're going out of bankruptcy and all that, and we certainly would like to be part of that effort. So please keep us abreast. I think Nick, you have a good relationship with
mm-hmm.
Nick, and he certainly will keep us apprised of all those developments or any type of support that we might be able to give you as far as moving forward.
Thank you so
Mark
much.
Pacico is the key
mm-hmm.
person.
Yes, he is.
we've talked many times.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's very open to your thoughts and comments. Okay.
Find a buyer for the Gardner Building.
Okay. Yes, in fact, is that the one that they're wanting me to work on?
Well, the Gardner block.
I think so.
Trust me,
it's very old.
I do know, well, we encountered with a woman who said she's the owner of it. Now I'm trying to think of her name now. Anna Maria Venturelli. Yeah.
I don't know. But she wants me to call her because she wants me to work with her.
She owns it, but I know that, you know, that's
You guys are in contact, and you could follow up.
Yeah,
with
so
them.
I
yeah,
you talk with her.
And we appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Feel free to stay if you'd like.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other public comments? Mr. Hill, would you like to say a few words? Or?
Well,
Mr. Jack Hill.
I'm just so proud to be in the city of San Bernardino and have the opportunity to see that this city is still functional. I've traveled in so many places that I've seen so much that I won't take that but the beer time to tell all of them. Thank you.
That's a great example of having oral history. You know, he needs to sit down and put this down, Jimmy. So,
I'm a writer's grant.
Keep that heritage going. Thanks so much. Okay, at this time, we have
announcements.
I was looking for the minutes. Did we approve the minutes, or is that going to be?
No, it doesn't.
Why don't we get this all right? Why don't we go ahead and the minutes have been sent out. Could we review those and see if there's any comments or questions about that?
Actually, we'll have to add those to the next agenda.
Okay. I forgot that on the agenda.
I will carry that over to the next meeting.
Sure. So what we will do at the next meeting is approve both of the...
That's correct.
Okay.
I apologize for that, commissioners.
Not a problem at all. Okay. Now we'll start with the announcements then from the commissioners. Please.
Okay. Well, I know we're going to be talking about this later on, but on Saturday we had the Millbrook workshop. That was held at the San Bernardino Historical Society, and it was pretty good. And I guess we're going to be talking more about that later in agenda. But thinking about Malia, immediately after the program, after the workshop was over, when everybody left, about five people came in. We had more people come in. And then I was going to stick around, just talk to people at the historical, you know, at the library. And all of a sudden, three people come up, and one of them was an older woman. Older woman. She's 97 years old. Anyway, it was Patricia Gabriel, which is, I thought about you. I didn't know she was coming, but she came. She is the granddaughter of John Andreessen Sr.,
yes.
And she was on Arrowhead Avenue. And I've talked to her several times in the past, and her... I'm always impressed with her hearing. Her hearing is far better than mine. And her son, Sam Gabriel, which many of you may know, he's in assisted living, but she's still, you know, she's 97 years old. That's something you love me. So,
good. And we'll talk specifically about the success of our workshop. Susie and of course, Nick and I were there, along with Jimmy. So we got very well received, and we'll discuss that under old business. Okay, Susie, announcements.
I don't have anything to announce. I'll pass.
Okay. I actually have no announcements. I just wanted to. I really enjoyed the presentation. That's great that people are trying. You know, have the resources and are willing to. Work on the historical preservation of this great city. Thank you so much.
Great. Jimmy?
I just want to extend my appreciation to Susie, Nick, Jim, and you for the presentation on Saturday, because I thought it was well done. It was very informative, and I thought it gave people what they needed to make a decision to go in that direction or not go in that direction. But it was excellent. I thought it was well done.
Thank you. And I guess it gets around to me. So just a couple things that I wanted to mention. This is a real minor thing. I know we passed this, all the contact people at our last meeting, and there was just a minor correction that needed to be made. I think the information for myself was incorrect. It's not a major thing, but if we could get that corrected out to the commissioners, I think it's extremely important to have that information out so we can talk. Not obviously we're under the Brown Act. Everybody knows more about the Brown Act these days, but we certainly want to encourage the commissioners to discuss amongst themselves informally with a phone call. I know I received a phone call from Ms. Truax last week, and unfortunately she couldn't be here tonight, but we'll discuss it at the last meeting, at the next meeting, under her comments, something that we might want to pursue that her church is doing but I think it's important that she's here to share that with you. So if I could just, this is the one that was passed out before today. It's not that difficult. You understand what I'm talking about. Okay. Thanks so much.
I will share, if I may.
Yes, please.
You had mentioned something briefly about the Brown Act, and I'm not an attorney, but I will. I've heard the admonishment enough times from city attorneys. Commissioners have to be, as do council members, have to be very careful about conversations, either in groups that constitute a majority of the commission, or what happens more commonly are what's called serialized meetings, where you'll talk to Nick, Nick will talk to Susie, and Susie will talk to Aaron, who will then talk to Jimmy. You have violated the Brown Act.
What the heck?
It happens.
No, I'm
unintentionally sometimes. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. But it is something, as you noted, Chair, it's something I think that people are more aware of now than they used to be, even though the legislation has been around since at least the 1970s. And the most important thing, and I was a commissioner in my hometown, so I got this drilled into my head very clearly. Brown Act violations, if they do occur, individuals are personally responsible for those. In other words, the city will not protect you against a Brown Act violation. So if you're operating in your official capacities as a commission, it's highly unlikely that this would happen with the HPC, because you are largely making recommendations to either the Planning Commission, if it's the demolition of a building on the Donaldson list, or to the City Council. So it's highly unlikely that there would be litigation that would involve the HPC directly, because you're a recommending body. But should that happen, you are individually responsible. You're personally responsible, and the city will not defend you. So it's a pretty serious thing, and I don't think that commissioners, and I'm not speaking to this commission, but I've worked in seven different cities, so I've been around commissions for a number of years. I don't think that commissioners generally take it seriously enough. So, but I am not an attorney, but Steve Graham did do a training for all of the commissions. I know you were there, mm-hmm. Chair, and I think you were there, Nick. I'm not sure which other commissioners were there. Stephen is going to try to do that again sometime this year. He wants to make that more of an annual event in conjunction with the city clerk's office. So the city attorney's office and city clerk's office will be doing that. But it's good that you guys talk to each other, but you always need to be mindful about that serial meeting situation.
So it has to be four or fewer people, right? Because five is a quorum?
Yes. Okay.
I know that, you know, with respond to Lisa, choices don't respond.
Right. Do not hit reply all.
Otherwise you're responding to five.
Do not hit reply all.
Yeah.
So again, I don't want to make a big deal out of it, but it is something to be mindful of. That's all.
Sure. In that regard, I know that city attorney, not the city attorney, but Mr. Graham does receive notices of our meeting, and of course that. In the past, I think Henry used to come to our meetings, not on a regular basis, but from our meeting. And so possibly under future agenda items, I think it might be appropriate for him to come to one of our meetings and just explain a little bit about, from a city attorney's, or assistant, deputy city attorney's vantage point, although this is his commission, that he could discuss that with us at that time.
Well, I don't know if we'll put it on the agenda, but I can certainly talk to Steve, and I think his preference would be to do like he did last time, to invite all of them, and do a very structured, because it's a lot of material to go through.
Yeah.
So I think his preference would probably be to do something more structured with multiple commissions, because he personally staffs HPC, Planning Commission, and the Water Board. So Stephen's a pretty busy guy, in addition to having to answer our inquiries on a daily or hourly basis.
Well, please let us know sort of in the
But I know that they are working on trying to do that again later.
And talking about commissionership, I just wanted to mention this briefly because I think we did last time also. We do have two vacancies on the commission. It's in the fifth ward and the third ward. That would be John Valdivia's ward. He did have an individual that was coming but had to drop off because of his work schedule.
Sixth ward.
And the sixth ward, right, which is Bassine, the little beautiful. So I don't know what you would recommend the procedure. Should the other commissioners recommend that there is an opening, or how was that process handled?
I wish I had a clear answer for you. Because that is something, and this is a little off the agenda, so I don't want to go too far afield.
Right.
But the city attorney is working with the city manager's office. There was a new outside counsel that was retained to help implement the charter. The charter obviously passed in November, and we now have a municipal code and a charter that conflict in a number of places. So outside counsel was retained. There's actually a study session tomorrow night, public study session that the council is having. Anybody would like to attend, where they're going to talk about the work program. And one of the items on the work program are roles and responsibilities for all commissions, and then creating a consistent set of bylaws, a bylaws template. So there's a lot of discussion that's taking place, and that's why there are some vacancies that we know about. It's not just on this commission. The Planning Commission also has a vacancy. So that's a long answer to a simple question.
Well, we certainly don't want to not have a quorum.
That's right. Increase the possibilities of having a quorum.
Right. Okay, great. That's all I had under my comments. I appreciate the flexibility of the council to hear that. And let's go to old business.
We want to go to new business?
That's what he said.
New business. Oh, I thought he said
let's
go to old business.
I thought he did.
Oh, I thought he did. Okay, we had announcements from the commissioners. The new business is, and I'm very pleased to say that the reason that Mark is at this committee is filling in for the gentleman that's in charge of the URM. And if you could take the floor, we appreciate that discussion.
So URM stands for Unreinforced Masonry Buildings. And Todd Morris is the building official. Todd works in community development, so he works for me. He's the chief building official, who is ultimately responsible for enforcing the laws related to unreinforced masonry buildings. So real quick story, every time there's a earthquake and there's structural damage to buildings, seismologists and structural engineers meet to determine what buildings failed and why they failed. Everybody knows we're moving out of City Hall. This building was built in 1971. When it was built in 1971, it met obviously all of the seismic standards and design standards in 1971. And then in 1993, the Northridge earthquake happened. And this building has two design flaws that weren't known in 1971, the soft story construction, which is the first, actually we're in the portion, so soft story is where you have a building which cantilevers out, a portion of the building which cantilevers out, and then is supported by that column. So when you walk into the main lobby, you're walking under that breezeway. Well, that's the soft story portion. It's also a steel moment frame building. Both of those buildings performed very badly in the Northridge earthquake. So when the building codes are updated on a three-year cycle, which I know is getting way into the weeds here, but I think for HPC is probably important. So statewide, building codes are updated every 3 years. And in those intervening years, if there is an earthquake, everybody gets together, the experts get together and say, what buildings fail and what do we need to do to make sure that doesn't happen again? So Northridge earthquake happened in 1933, 6.4 earthquake magnitude, leveled a whole bunch of buildings all over Southern California. And those buildings were unreinforced masonry because they weren't built with rebar. I think everybody knows what they used to do is the building, and you can identify these buildings when you're walking down the street. They're the red brick buildings. Molly's is one of them, although Molly's has been retrofitted. So the bricks run horizontally, six rows up, and then the seventh row they turn vertically. And there's two rows of bricks side by side, and then every seventh one they turn sideways, and the mortar is what's supposed to hold them together, and that's the way they built them prior to Northridge, or prior to Long Beach. Well, a lot of those buildings failed. So it wasn't until 1986 that the state said, oh, there's a lot of unreinforced masonry buildings now that are 50 plus years old. We haven't done anything about it. So the first piece of legislation came out actually in 1986. Actually, URM buildings were then outlawed in about 1941 after the Northridge earthquake. But there's obviously a large inventory, particularly in San Bernardino, of those pre-33 buildings. So in 1986, the legislature said cities need to inventory all of the URM buildings, unreinforced masonry buildings in their city. So we dutifully inventory the buildings, but there wasn't anything beyond, okay, you have to know where they are. So we've known where they are since 1986, and then in 1993, another piece of legislation was passed which said all URM buildings need to be posted so that people entering those buildings know that they're unreinforced masonry buildings and they might be hurt in the event of an earthquake. And the unfinished furniture store up on E Street is a beautiful URM building. So if you enter that building off the back parking lot, they've got their placard in the doorway that says, by the way, you're entering a building that's structurally unsound, and you do so at your own risk. So the only two pieces of state law are you have to inventory them, and then you have to post them. We have been, at a staff level, very concerned that we should do more. So that's why we have been at, again, in a many cities around the state are just now starting to say we need to do something more than just know where they are and say enter at your own risk. So it's obviously very expensive to retrofit these buildings, and we are putting together, me being staff, Todd, myself, and Oliver from the planning side, because these buildings all need planning permits at some point, or maybe. We're putting together kind of a high-level memo, and we've surveyed a lot of the adjacent jurisdictions to find out what other cities and counties in the state are doing. And we'll be bringing that to the city council probably in May to talk to the council about what kind of the state of the art is, if you will, relative to new regulations related to unreinforced masonry buildings. So we don't know what we're going to do yet, but we do think that it's time and probably past time to do something to try to get people to upgrade their buildings. Because while they're beautiful and we all love them, they are structurally unsafe.
Do you have a list of those that are?
We do. There are, I believe, 94 unreinforced masonry buildings in town.
The downtown buildings.
They're all in the downtown.
They're all in the
downtown. And are they all inhabited?
I don't have those numbers, Susie, off the top of my head. Todd's got that matrix, and that's what we're going to be presenting to the council. We have notified all of those property owners. We did an inventory shortly after I started here to make sure that they all had their placards. So they all now have placards. And Todd has a very detailed list. We will be notifying all of the property owners of those buildings when we take this item to the city council, and then ultimately when we adopt an ordinance. My sense is that the ordinance at the earliest is late 2017, maybe even early 2018. Because we're talking potentially several hundred thousand dollars or more for some of these larger buildings to retrofit. And we don't have the ability to help people with any sort of financing.
It's not cheap.
And it's not cheap.
It depends on the size of the building, of course, but
right.
I mean,
right.
It's not cheap.
Right. So it's a very, from a public safety standpoint, it's an important issue, and this is kind of the tension between historic preservation and public safety.
Yeah.
You know, we'd love to preserve all of these buildings, but
you have to live to see.
But if you don't want to be in them either.
Right. Right. So in communities where there's a very strong real estate market like Santa Monica, the city of Santa Monica has been very aggressive in making property owners upgrade their buildings. But rent rates in Santa Monica are easily 7 or 8 times higher than they are here, so a property owner there can pass along the cost of that improvement where they can't here.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's the tension, if you will, between historic preservation and public safety. So.
And there's many of these buildings that are historical, is that correct?
They're all historical because they're all pre-1933.
Okay.
Or pre-1941, at least.
So
mostly
so
pre-1933.
So do you like the Harris Company and the Andreessen Building and all?
The Andreessen is not, just because they're, I should clarify that just because they're old doesn't mean they're unreinforced. Like the Heritage Building across the street, which this commission was talking about, that's poured in place concrete.
Oh, so that's okay.
That building is extremely solid.
Good.
I don't know the construction type in the Andreessen Building. I think that's actually a steel frame building.
I think it is too.
Yeah.
Harris Company.
Yeah. Is it appropriate for us to get that list or not?
It is public information. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It is public information, so I can certainly have Lisa.
Yeah, I would love to see it.
Yeah,
forward that to to the commissioners.
But it makes sense. I mean, you have to be safe.
Yes.
So they've been letting go. You said most of the cities have just been, I guess, slide by for too long.
Very, very few cities. Even the city of Los Angeles, which I don't like to pick on another city, but I will. The city of LA has gotten a lot of positive press out of addressing unreinforced masonry buildings. All they said is, you've got 25 years to upgrade your building. Go figure it out. Well, what have you done? Yeah. So they adopted an ordinance. But they still have deferred action until basically 2040.
Wow.
So
that keeps us safe.
Right. So we from a staff perspective would like to do something that's more meaningful to the public.
Yeah.
But again, I think that this commission will be involved in that because I think there will be buildings that are historic that will be demolished.
It will break our hearts.
Yeah, it will. I mean, absolutely. I mean, we've lost a lot of beautiful buildings in this town.
Yeah.
So it's way too early to say what that ordinance is going to look like. We have not yet had the discussion with the council, so I don't want to.
And we don't know where the money's going to come from.
Well, I can say the city has no money.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah. So
it's going to be up to the owners.
Yes.
Of those properties.
Yes.
State, Sacramento?
Sacramento heretofore has not come up with a single dime for unreinforced masonry buildings. There's going to be a lot of discussion at the council level, at HPC, at the Planning Commission. So I don't want the commission to think that this is going to happen quickly. It's a 10 to 12 month process to figure all this out.
But we appreciate your offers of sending out that information to the commissioners.
Yeah,
people know we're on this commission and they may talk to us.
Yeah.
We certainly need
have something to tell people. Every day we have people asking.
Yeah, my best advice is while you can certainly know the community better, I think the best advice would be to have them beyond yes, your building is on it or no, it's not. I think the best advice would be to have them either talk to me or talk to Todd.
Sure.
Because it's a pretty And I don't pretend to know this stuff either. Todd's really the technical expert when it comes to this. That's what we're here for.
The other thing is we should get that list and document the buildings with photographs at the very least.
Oh, absolutely. I agree, Susie. That's
a, yes. Let's say that.
Well, under state law, the demolition of any historic structure is environmentally significant from a CEQA standpoint. So there will be CEQA work, which includes documentation and records, creating records of historic buildings. So,
because lots of things have disappeared, and you didn't even know that they were going like that.
Those probably were reinforced. No, we don't know.
Yeah.
But it's true. But now it's a different story. They're, you know,
right.
You've got to be diligent.
Yeah. So that's all I have. Yeah. I'm happy to answer any other questions.
Well, we appreciate you stepping in and making that. I know that it's something that the city really needs to address. We can't, you know, we stepped right forward with City Hall. I mean, we knew it was
right.
was not safe to continue to be there, and I think people are realizing that we have to err on the side of caution, and I think we're doing that. So we appreciate what you and your staff, Oliver, and Lisa can do to let us know. I mean, I didn't know tonight, it's no criticism, but I didn't know there were 94 buildings in ERM, so we need to certainly be aware of that and address that and come up with some solutions.
Well, the press is well aware of it. I've spoken with a reporter from the LA Times 3 times about it, so it is public information. we can certainly share that with the commission. At this point, like I say, we don't, beyond identifying the issues, we don't, and a range of solutions, which is do what the city of LA did and say, you got 25 years to fix it, or something a little more comprehensive from a public safety standpoint. We're not sure what direction the council would like to go.
Well,
kicking
honestly,
the can down the road is never the answer,
right,
in my opinion.
Right.
Very good. Any other further questions? Appreciate the presentation very much.
And by the way, when do you move?
It's not on the agenda.
My counsel has told me that I can't answer that question. It will be in about the next 4 months. We're moving into 3 locations, so the first offices will be moving into the Manor Tower within the next 60 days. The city manager hopes to have everybody out by the end of 4 months.
Okay.
As far as this commission, our next meeting will not be here, or will be here.
Well,
we don't know that.
We'll let you know. We'll let you know.
Just send an email.
Well, that's a good segue into the next agenda item, because after some discussion with the commissioners, I wanted to agendize this, because we do need to talk, and I appreciate Lisa's work on this, because I noticed she had indicated that our next meeting would be on May the 8th. What we pretty much discussed, and we want to discuss formally now, because it's, of course, in the ordinance. And maybe you could brief us, Oliver, how often this commission is allowed to meet a year.
So, what is it? The city's ordinance says that the commission shall hold meetings and shall function pursuant to provisions of this chapter. Meetings shall be held quarterly or as requested by the planning commission or the mayor and common council.
Okay, so what we have actually done since this commission was created is meet every other month. We don't have to meet every other month. Frankly, some commissions would like us to even meet more often, so we do have that flexibility. I know that for many years we've met in different months as far as the months are concerned. There was a few issues about that last year because we had like a meeting was scheduled like in December, you know, which is kind of difficult because it's a holiday season and really trying to get a quorum. So what I would like to recommend, and we certainly needed to have discussion about this, is that we change the monthly meetings from January, April,
March.
It would be, well, like today is March, so the next one would be like in May, and then July, and then that would be seven, and then in September, and then the last one for the year would be in November, you know, which basically is before all the holidays, okay? So, you know, so I would like to encourage someone to make a motion that we actually change the months that we meet to conform so we don't have a commission meeting, quote unquote, one of the main reasons during the holidays.
I thought we already...
There was a discussion, but after going back, it wasn't an agendized item.
Right. Oh, it was.
So we weren't able to make that.
That's why I'm surprised.
Did we take action on that, but it wasn't on the agenda?
Right. And then also we have some bylaws that were approved in 2012.
Okay.
That basically say that the commission will meet on even numbered months.
Yeah.
And as Mark indicated, we now have a consultant on board that's going to be putting together a template, if you will, for bylaws for all commissions that'll go across the board.
Right.
And so, and I don't know how long that process is going to take. So maybe I don't know if we need to put dates for the remainder of the year or what's the. Or shorter time. I don't know.
Well, the
other part too is, we really have to look at what items we have on the agenda.
Absolutely.
You know, obviously we want to meet, but we want them to be fruitful meetings, mm-hmm. and discussions.
Sure.
And so maybe along, I know we've talked about a couple of topics that we maybe wanted to explore in the future, kind
yes,
of thing.
Yes, I have almost.
We want to have items on the agenda,
mm-hmm. sure.
You know, essentially.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, so.
Well, does it take much to just move them over to the odd months?
Is that the only council, or is
that all right? No, we could. I mean, if it's a pleasure of the commission to go with the recommendation to switch them to, you know, the remaining where it's May, July, September, November, that's fine. And if anything changes between now and during this period, you know,
I'll make the motion. If it doesn't be my motion, I'll make the motion for odd months for 2017.
Okay.
For the recommendation.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Old business. The Mills Act presentation. Yep. Were the chairman of that committee? Did you please report?
You know, it was a good roll down. Kevin tracks the San Bernardino County Assessor's Office. His folks in San Bernardino City was there. Oliver was there. City Attorney Gary Sines said he wasn't to come. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, he was involved in other things.
Oh, that's okay. We had a nice little turnout. Not a lot of people. Maybe a dozen.
We had seven at the beginning, but you said there were some others.
Yeah, then we came in right after everybody left, or everybody walked out, and then we came in. People that came in, one of them was a family that was involved with the Mills Act, and they had some questions. Oh, I have a question.
Esmeralda? Was it Esmeralda?
I might be. Yes. Yeah, okay, she did about...
I spoke to her today.
Okay. And then during the 2-hour time slot we had our program, Susie gave a really nice PowerPoint presentation of starting out with buildings
that we lost,
and then ending with buildings that we still have.
really well done.
Yeah, why we have this commission in the first place is because we have Lost and Gems.
Yeah.
It's the nature of cities.
And also the fact that Susie, her house is involved with the Mills Act, and that we also had another couple that came.
Yes. Oh, we can discuss it after.
Okay.
Yes, that was the Alberts.
Oh, Alberts, okay.
Yeah.
And they were very involved, which is really nice. They asked a lot of questions, and that was good because, you know.
There were some questions that the assessor was able to answer, but none of us knew the answer.
That's what's good. It's good to have that.
Got into the math.
Of people.
Well, I mean, I didn't know how to answer the woman that asked about she's in a little county donut in the middle of the city.
Yeah, and I asked him too.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that's a tricky question. Because really the jurisdiction is almost, the county, but the infrastructure's from the city, so then, but, you know, we moved her over to the county.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so he said, yeah, if you're in a county pocket in San Bernardino City, there's a lot of county pockets. It's county's county.
Right.
But then I wasn't sure if the county recognized the Mills Act, so that's their problem. That's what I decided.
But we had a lot of good feedback from people that were interested in getting into it. And the way it was explained about the incentives for, first of all, for those people that would benefit from the Mills Act, their property was purchased prior to Proposition 13, they may not be think for it because the tax would be, property tax would be very low.
Right.
But since then, you know, it's a different story. And then Kevin mentioned that he takes three different scenarios for tax, whatever's the lowest.
Right, right. Got into the math of it.
Yeah, do the math, yeah.
Kevin's the gentleman from the assessor's office.
Really good. Somebody can talk to.
Very knowledgeable.
One thing I would like to caution the commission about is when you're encouraging individuals to sign up, we have individuals that are Prop 13 already who, through various workshops, have signed up for the Mills Act. They receive no discount.
Mm-hmm. That's what we tried to tell them, and
right.
They're like, well, if I can save a dollar, I'll be happy.
Yeah, the bank may not
right.
be worth it.
So they're paying their yearly administrative fee. They're doing their improvements, but there is no additional benefit.
Yes, we brought that up.
Yes, we did.
Because
that
got happened to you, right? Yeah, I remember at our last workshop is when I fully came to light that it's not very good. In fact, the county assessor, Dan Hart, came 3 years ago. He explained that. That's not.
But anybody that's bought a new historic building.
Definitely.
A property.
Does that apply to someone that has refinanced and had their home reassessed?
Yeah.
How do you know if they're Prop 13? Is it just if they've owned it since a certain time?
Well, if you owned it since Prop, yeah, if you've owned it before 1975, then it's under Prop 13.
It can also transfer to their heirs.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
okay. So,
okay.
Yeah, if it just transferred to heirs, and
if it's been sold, yes. Then you lost the protection.
But it's been sold. Yeah, that's exactly right.
But if it transfers to heirs, then it's still under Prop 13 because there was no reassessment.
Correct. Right.
Okay.
This gentleman was here. He says, you know, all those, I mean, like the back of his hand. Yeah. So it's a very, very large asset.
Was it helpful?
Susie, for making your presentation.
I also gave it to the San Bernardino Alumni Association. San Bernardino High School.
Practice.
Yeah, well, yeah. But Mark was also, he went to bat for the city and did all the things the city is doing. He did a great job, so.
I'm surprised San Bernardino High School didn't want the original kind of photo prior to tearing down the administration building in there.
Oh, I know. That's a neat old building.
Yeah.
That was a neat old building. You're right about that. I didn't put that in there, though, because why make him cry?
That's right.
I also want to thank Nick for this. I don't know if you've seen this article that was in The Sun, but it certainly brought the awareness level of the Mills Act, and it was done extremely well. Appreciate it. We did take the opportunity to have people sign in that were there, and what I'd like to do, I I don't like to give the staff a lot of work, but I think it would be important that we send a letter to these people thanking them for coming out to the event and give them the contact information. I think some of them would probably follow up with that.
So the direction that we have from a staff level is that any correspondence from the city has to come through the city manager's office. So what I can do is I will, I'll talk with Mark Fratico about that.
And here's a list and we'll put it in your hands.
And then what we can do is we can report back at the next meeting what happened, from that.
We appreciate that. It's just kind of tying everything up because the people that are there, I think, are really serious about getting this program reactivated. There was one gentleman that had a long beard. He's got all kinds of property in San Bernardino.
He's there till 2 o'clock. Huh? He was there till 2 o'clock.
Oh my gosh, I went past his house. It's a neat old house.
He was saying, if I knew about the Bills Act like 10 years ago, I would, I'd benefited like $250,000, So, and it also, for the benefit of the guests here, it also is strongly recommended that public buildings also look at the Bills Act because there's a definite benefit.
A person does not have to live in the building, in the house. And some people still think that that's what you have to do.
So what, Whitney, anything for the next agenda? Any items?
Yes, go ahead, Susan.
We need to have a discussion about what we consider to be an historic property. Because the original date on our brochure says 1942, and at the time that we made that decision, that was a 50-year-old house structure, and it's time has moved on. So we might want to discuss that date, and it might stay exactly the same. As a commission, we need to discuss that. How do we roll that forward always, or do we? Do we have a cutoff date, that kind of thing?
That's a very good.
And I looked on the Mills Act at the state level about that. They don't have a guideline. They say that's up to the local jurisdiction to make that distinction. So we have to design this law.
The council makes the final decision.
I'm sure. We only recommend.
Yes.
We only recommend.
That's all.
Do we have a list of actual property that is considered historical property?
Ooh, boy. The Donaldson
report would be the only.
You mean property, not buildings, or
houses also.
Oh, okay.
Donaldson's report is as close
as needs to be. That needs to be updated.
That needs to be updated big time.
Because one of my thoughts are, as I drive around town, I see some structures that should really qualify for it, and they might, but I don't know really if they are already designated as such property.
Well, here's what you can do. You can write down the address and you go back to your Donaldson report, which you must have, yes?
I don't think he does because it was through the council member. The council office makes a copy of the volume.
Okay. I can get you my Donaldson report.
Okay.
And remember when they were going to do lakes and streams? Mm-hmm. They put that together for the lakes and streams idea. And it's a big notebook. It has all the historic properties in town at that time. Mm-hmm. And you can go back to that report and look and see if it's on that list.
Because my thoughts are, as we are observing things like that, if it's not been designated, that's the way to approach it. Or maybe if we had a generic letter to even send to them, introducing them to the process of having your property designated as historic property. That would be hopefully a way that we can start looking at that quota for 10 each year to maybe get that done.
I mean, the first part of that discussion is defining within our commission what historic means. Because now it's 1942.
Yeah.
I think it's also historic does not, old does not equate historic.
I agree. Totally. Yes. So we need to have that discussion. Yes. What our criteria is. And you're right about that, Jimmy. Some of those places you're just like, oh no.
Commissioner, you could always email me the address.
Okay, I will. It's a well-known family that lived there at one time. It was the Jinks. And they were very active in the community. I don't know who has the property now, but the home, I can't see it not being able to qualify, you know. Well, I'll do that.
Well, Susie will get that.
Also. Okay.
Yeah, I'll get that too. Although, well, it might be using it.
Okay.
I mean.
Right.
What was there in a specific agenda item you wanted for the May meeting?
Yes, for the May meeting, if we could discuss that definition of the criteria for historic.
I agree 100%. Aaron, you have the Donaldson report, right?
I do not.
Okay. Could you also provide Aaron a copy also?
Oh, no. It's too big to make a copy. But, I mean, he can borrow it after Jimmy does. It's a huge notebook. It comes with several CDs, and, I mean, it's no easy copy. Sorry.
Well, so you guys work it out. You know, again, this is important that the commissioners work together on something, at least not any violation, obviously, of the Bills Act, but you need the information because we talk about the Donaldson report, and you don't even have a copy, so that's something that we might make sure that becomes available. Okay? Then you can, you know, it's public information, right? So it's not something that is there any website or anything that they would have access to that, Oliver, as far as it's on
the city? No, what commissioners have done in the past is ask their council member to ask the department for a copy, and then the council office makes that copy for the commission.
Oh, okay. Sounds great. You see that process? So just contact your council person and then they can make that request.
Here's Jim.
Jim.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Wonderful. So that's resolved. So we'll have that. And I think it's a little premature. We did talk about updating the Donaldson report.
Yes.
You know, we really need to make sure all the commissioners have that report before we even consider that. And the conversation that came out tonight from Mark Persico about the commissions and all this being restructured, as you probably know, and I'll give you a little historic part, no pun intended, about this commission, is that, as you know, the bankruptcy has affected our decisions quite a bit over the last 4 or 5 years. Now we're moving out of that. That's why we're talking about new ideas to make sure that this commission is more vital. Not that it wasn't vital in the past, but the city was just evolving. What was the next move for the city or something?
And the player, the people, the staff was changing, it was decreasing, different players, different people.
Right. So for the next agenda, we'll put this item on and we'll have something to discuss, and then we'll kind of take it from there.
I appreciate that. One quick, this young lady walked in late, and I think she wanted to tell us about the art night. Do you want to make that announcement?
Yeah, we're having the San Bernardino Art Night from the 21st and the 22nd. It goes from 4 to 8 p.m. on Friday the 21st, and from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday the 22nd. And it's going to be really amazing. We have the whole court area is going to have a video presentation with
downtown
interpretive dance.
Right here
in this area, right when you go past the waterfall.
It's in the actually community development is working with that.
Right. And so it's going to take over, that cascading waterfall.
So it's going to be a carousel mall on the top levels, whole portion of the bottom, and then when you walk across the bridge, there's going to be like spray paint artists right there at the top level, and then bands down at the Court Street.
Right. And in the carousel mall, where the artists are going to be like circular and
so they're going to have child care. Say the date again.
The 21st and the 22nd. And they are going to have child care.
April.
And it's all free.
Last year's event, the inaugural one, was really good. We really enjoyed
it. I wasn't
part
of that one. I can't take any credit.
Yes.
That's good to know.
Okay. I think, is there any additional topics to discuss? If not, we're adjourned. Thank you very much.
Good seeing you. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
I'm doing well.
I'm sorry, Aaron, for.
No,
I'm digging on the... I mean, this thing is jogging.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I've seen it, and I actually have some resources in that direction.
So okay, yeah, cool. If you ask your councilman, okay, councilperson, they'll get you one. But for me to do it, it would be a giant undertaking.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I just...